Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. It's Monday, May the 8th, 2023. Joining me in studio is Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And good morning, Fred Jackson.
Howdy there, Tim.
Well, have a good weekend?
I did. Had a good weekend. I've decided to change things up. I'm going to be encouraging Ed today. So all you morons out there that I've been criticizing, today's your day. I'm going to encourage you.
You encourage the morons? I don't know.
You might want to reconsider
that messaging. I'm going to go back to the drawing board, the committee.
Yeah, might have to revisit this.
Well, I had a Saturday. I mentioned it to the staff this morning. I'm not big on suits and ties. For me personally?
Right.
I don't, you know, if somebody wants to wear a suit and tie all the time,
or they still be a good person,
or if their job requires it,
right.
I understand that. But since the pandemic here at our ministry, we've kind of decided anything short of pajamas is acceptable attire. I had a funeral Saturday morning and a wedding Saturday night. So I had to wear
a suit all day,
suit and tie, like from 10 to 10. And it was painful.
That's brutal.
Even for
a pastor. I'm just telling you, that makes me feel bad. And I wasn't even the one in the suit and tie.
Anyway, it's okay. I feel the need to wear it every once in a while because we paid like $400 for it or something.
Yeah.
Like whatever it was. Huh? Suit.
Well,
expensive.
Well, listen, I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you have to go to a funeral. Sometimes you have to go to a wedding.
Right.
But not on the same day.
I know. It was
all day long.
It was all day long.
And it wasn't too long ago, culturally speaking, when lots of places you had to wear a suit, coat, and tie all day at work.
Oh, yeah.
You had to take your jacket off in your office. But
well, you see these vintage pictures of the 1910s and 20s and 30s. Every man wore a tie.
And hats back that far.
I mean, just to do manual labor almost, they would wear and hats.
Well, to go to the movies, and even as early as the 50s and early 60s, if you went out to the movies, a lot of men wore a suit and tie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was standard, you know, standard wear.
There's a lot of things that have gone wrong in our country, but that's not one of them. All right? We have moved in the right direction.
All right. Well, I hope everybody had a nice weekend. It was a sad weekend for our country in terms of some tragedies that took place. Right, Fred?
Yes, for the state of Texas in particular. And back on Saturday afternoon, we got news of a shooting at a Dallas area mall, actually in Allen, Texas, suburb of Dallas. And when it was over, 8 people had been killed, several others seriously injured. The gunman taken down by a police officer who just happened to be in the area on another call. The gunman is Mauricio Garcia, 33 years old. And this morning, police are trying to figure out a motive for this shooting. Now, some media outlets are making a deal of some of his media contacts, social media, that sort of thing. They're referring to him as a sympathizer, a right-wing death squad member because of initials that he had, a patch on his chest, RWDS. But all of this is speculation at this point. The authorities went to a hotel room where Garcia apparently was hanging out for at least a couple of weeks. There's, of course, the calls for gun control, all of that sort of thing. But once again, just a tragedy. There were a memorial service that was held last night for these folks. And it is true. We disagree with the mainstream media on so many points, but there's been so many of these incidents so far this year. And in this case, folks out shopping, at a mall on a Saturday afternoon. How often does that, how common is that across the country? And this gunman just lets loose. We don't know the reasons for it yet.
Well, and that is in contrast to the Nashville shooting.
Yes.
Right? Because with some of these tragedies, we want to know what motivates people to do it.
Yes.
From our perspective, and we're not trying to oversimplify things, but it is sin. It may be mental illness on top of sinfulness, but these are evil mm-hmm. acts. Objectively speaking, they are evil in the sight of God, but we want to know what the person was thinking, so perhaps we can recognize those warning signs in other people. But in some of these kinds of moments, we don't get a lot of information. That, in terms of the Nashville shooter, that individual had a manifesto. That's not going to be released, right?
Not yet.
Yeah. So anyway, this wasn't the only thing that happened this weekend, the shooting in this outlet mall in Allen, but this was tragic. What is the death toll? Is it nine?
Eight people.
Eight?
Eight people killed. There's at least seven others who were hurt.
Let me ask you guys this question. We haven't talked about this prior to me bringing this up right now. What does it really matter in the end, a manifesto or a motivation? I'm just asking a question out loud here. What does that – what is it? Can we just not say that these are evil acts, as you say? I guess there's something to be said and known for why people do the way they do. I'm not necessarily opposed to publicizing that. It's just that the left wing in this country, the media and the Democrats, not all of them maybe, but they want to say this is caused by guns, right? It's gun violence.
Right.
Unless they can find a motivation to a white male being somehow, in this case, this was a Hispanic gentleman, fella.
Right.
Fella, he's not a gentleman. He's a killer. And then in which case they want to say, well, it's white supremacy that led to this action. And listen, sometimes it is white supremacy or other kinds of supremacy. In Oklahoma, there was a black fella over the weekend who shot two white men indiscriminately. I mean, randomly. And they found out it's because he hated white people. Okay? Being charged with a hate crime. But that happens. But what am I supposed to do with that information? Is what I'm saying. Okay, so you got a black guy who hates white people. That's horrible. It's terrible. It's evil, to your point.
Yeah.
Tomorrow we might have a white guy who shoots Hispanics because he hates Hispanics. That's terrible. It's you see what I'm saying? But I'm not sure. What are we hoping to gain? What's the end goal of trying to find out everybody's motivation for what they did?
Well, first of all, motive is always important in investigating, charging and punishing crimes, right? That always comes into play.
I understand that. Yeah,
but let's say there's a half dozen. I'm not including any of these recent events, but let's say there's a half dozen of these mass shootings, and you find out that the motivation of the shooters is all tied to some sort of a plot against America. You would want to know that these are linked. Ideologically, maybe they're part of some kind of group, or you maybe want to find out if we're making mistakes. If these people come from a particular background, let's say they're illegal immigrants, they come from Cuba or they come from Venezuela, and we find out that they were part of some sort of. So I guess to your point, it doesn't excuse crimes that are committed. And it doesn't detract from the fact that these acts are evil. And so I can see your point that maybe it's not always.
About 10 years ago, we had a spate of crimes committed by Muslims in America.
Right.
Who were of a jihadi mindset. Do you remember that?
We went
through about two or three years of that, including 9/11, but after that. Well, we were told at the time by the, again, by the media and by people on the left, you can't lump all Muslims into this category because of the actions of a few, which I think is wise advice.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's so easy for us to generalize, right? We do that. It's a natural tendency of human beings, especially against generalize against people who aren't of our kind.
Right.
Right. So I understand that, although at the time you were going, well, the reason these people are doing that, there is an element inside Islam, albeit small, that believes in jihad. They believe in killing non-Muslims because Allah tells them to take out the infidel.
Right.
And in their manifestos, they would say as much. So... But it just seems like the left-wing media in this country, they're waiting, that what they're wanting to do is try to say, okay, white Christian men in particular are responsible for this, and that's the Republican Party. That's the Republican Party demographic. Therefore, it's the message of the Christians and the Republicans in this country that's leading to these mass murders. Mm-hmm. They're a danger and a threat to the republic. Therefore, we have the right to penalize them, or to watch them with the FBI, or to go after them with the IRS, or you see what I'm saying here?
Mm-hmm.
To somehow make them less than human.
Let Fred jump in, to do the very thing they refused to let conservatives do when it came to jihad. And that is
precisely
so they want to do expand the group or the label and incorporate the general group for the actions of a few specifics because they're already opposed to the belief system of
Fred speaks here. Fred, we're going to let you participate in the show today. Yes. So the liberal media and the many of the Democrats, they're waiting. This is why they're so quick to jump out oftentimes to say it was a right wing minded person who did this crime. That's the reason they were so easy. They were so quick to believe the story of Jussie Smollett. Remember the guy in Chicago
who
claimed he was mugged by two MAGA wearing hat guys at 2 a.m. in Chicago. Remember that whole fiasco?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's fake.
It's fake, but some in the media were saying what may be true. Even though everybody knew it was fake, but the media wanted it to be true because they wanted to blame it on MAGA.
Right.
You know, MAGA's a threat to MAGA people wearing hats are a threat to our country. So they had a made-up story that they were quick to – everybody knew it was false, I mean, the whole story, but they acted like, well, maybe it's true. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That just gives you an example of that. But anyway, go ahead, Fred. Any of your thoughts?
Well, just to go back to something Ed said, go back to the Nashville incident, the shooting at the Christian school. There has not been a story that I have seen that questions the motive of that shooter. That has gone silent.
Right.
Immediately
at the Christian school?
Yes.
Yeah.
Immediately the story went to gun control.
Right.
The three Democrats who I would say carried out an insurrection at the Tennessee legislature. They became the focus because they called for gun control. They even got invited to the White House. So it all became about gun control. The story has gone silent on this transgender former student at the Christian school that we're left to.
Okay, why is that, Fred?
Well, because the speculation is there is a manifesto that people would like to see, and because that manifesto tells us why she carried that out, but they won't want to release that.
What if the manifesto says, I hate Christians, I want them dead?
That's why it won't be released, because it doesn't fit the narrative.
Well, and also that what they would say, and we've heard this before, and in fact with Nashville,
who's they?
The media, and the left. They said their initial reaction was that the transgender community is always in danger. So they would say, we're not going to release that manifesto if it said what you just said, Tim, because that would result in repercussions for the transgender. It would result in violence against the transgender community. Therefore, we're not going to let anyone know that that was the motivation of the speaker.
Well, also the narrative of the left when it comes to transgenders is they're victims.
Right.
They are victims. And if all of a sudden the truth was to come out that this person carried out the mass murder at that Christian school because she hates Christians, then that shoots down that narrative. That brings into question that narrative that they are victims.
I just don't understand. I do understand. I'm not altogether pretending here. But I don't understand why there has to be a narrative of the left-wing media that they want to promote. Why don't we just tell the facts as they exist? And if people do mass shootings, let's just say what their motivations were, what they stated was. What kind of conclusion are we trying to draw, and for what to what end?
Well, because they first of all, the left, by and large, I don't want to paint with too broad a brush. The left does not believe in evil, all right? They believe people act in response to oppression. That's the overall narrative. They don't, in other words, they don't believe that these people are individually responsible for their own behaviors, or that those kinds of behaviors, when you're shooting up people, are evil and wicked or sinful. Their explanation is that the transgender people are oppressed. That's why they respond. That's the explanation for the jihadist attacks on the London trains.
Mm-hmm.
Remember way back, again, when I was talking 10 or 12 years ago, there was one of the politicians, staffers, or I forget who, this has gone so far back, I can't remember. They said, well, they just needed jobs. These young men needed jobs. And if more and more young Muslim men in the West get the jobs they need, they won't act out. So that's the narrative. The narrative is that the culture, when it is conservative or capitalistic or whatever, is oppressive. Christianity is oppressive towards transgender, and that's why the narrative supersedes other explanations.
Listen, as I've said before, we live in a country of 330 million people, all right? And we have access to news instantaneously, 24/7 internet, cable news, whatever like that. So we're going to learn about these events. And it's true that maybe in our country's history, prior to like 20 years ago, maybe Columbine started these kinds of things, getting, you know, national notoriety.
Right.
But when you have 330 million people, you're going to have some people that are crazy. You're going to have some people that are drug addicted, who are insane, who have hateful hearts, who do have racial or ethnic biases that they act on. I'm just saying we need to be real careful about making broad generalizations about any group of people based on the actions of one or two people, or three or four people, or five or six people. You see what I'm saying? That's my thoughts on that.
Well,
the left wants to change this country. And in order to change the country, you have to create narratives.
And you got to create enemies.
Yes. And so we're a divided country because the left wants it that way. They have painted conservatives, Christians, as the bad guys. We are, when I read stories, when we read secular stories about abortion, we are the bad people who want to take the right of women to health care, they
yes.
say. That's when you go to the border. They paint everybody crossing our border illegally as victims. They are breaking the law to enter the country, but they are being painted as victims.
Victims of who? Of what?
They are victims of oppression where they live, and who are you to say that they shouldn't come in here for a better life?
Listen,
that's part of the narrative that's out there.
When you have the President of the United States saying in a speech that white supremacists are the top threat to our democracy, all right? When we've discussed this a lot, white supremacists are not numerous, all right? If you're going to say that's the biggest threat, you're going to say that parents showing up at a school board meeting, you're going to liken them to domestic terrorists? Well, clearly the left is trying to paint some sort of a picture here where their political enemies become a threat that warrants,
yes,
as you said, going after them with all, you know, it's okay to punch a fascist in the face, says members of Antifa. Well, who do you call a fascist? Well, the people we don't like.
Yeah. And how many times have you heard from President Biden, threat to democracy?
Right.
Those parents who went to school board meetings were described as threats to democracy.
Yeah.
Anybody in the military who goes to a social media site that is conservative is a threat to democracy.
Right.
They're trying to change this country. They're trying to move this country to the radical left. This is what they're up to.
Well, also, they're trying to justify punishment against their enemies.
No question.
They're perceived enemies, and we are, by we, I mean conservatives, especially conservative Christians, are enemy number one of the left. So how do you make punishment of those people acceptable? You dehumanize them.
Yes.
How do you dehumanize them? You paint them in the worst possible light day after day after day after day, and you hope, this is sick, I know, you hope that these mass killers are white supremacist so that you can further your agenda against white conservative people. That's my view. Yeah. All right, we got about 2 minutes left before the break.
The other tragedy in Texas on the weekend occurred yesterday morning. It was at a migrant shelter just outside of Brownsville, Texas. A group of people who had entered the country illegally, they're allowed to stay. They're at this shelter. They're waiting for a bus to go back to downtown Brownsville. Someone, they haven't identified this man yet, is driving a Range Rover.
I think they have.
Haven't they?
Go ahead.
No.
They haven't?
They haven't put a name on him yet.
Okay, but they have the suspect.
Oh, they have him. He's in hospital. He's about to be released. He's driving a Range Rover. He goes through the red light, and he mows down and kills at least 8 people. I think 10 others were injured in this. The driver tried to run. He was captured. He is in hospital. We'll find out more about it. But in this story, this AP story, we also learned just what it's like living in Brownsville, Texas right now. 2,500 illegals a day are entering the country through Brownsville. A day. And this is ahead of the end of Title 42 on Thursday.
This is a human catastrophe. And make no mistake, Joe Biden, the President of the United States, has destroyed our borders.
Yes.
We have no borders any longer. Mm-hmm. And it's y'all come from around the world and just flood the United States of America. Millions of people have come since he's been president. And now even some Democrats are saying we're about to be overrun. Huh? Yeah. Now, it's the Democrat Party's fault to a large extent. Now, some Republicans share the blame, too, for what's happening. But you're about to see a tidal wave. We'll be back momentarily.
When you hear this... This is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before. Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association. The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness. And may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes. Stand by for news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes.
Much anticipated revival of Looney Tunes cartoons has blown up like a crate of Acme dynamite. The new series debuted on HBO Max, but not before undergoing a 21st century cultural cleansing. It seems Elmer Fudd and Yosemite Sam have been disarmed. The executive producer telling the New York Times Elmer will no longer carry his oversized hunting rifle and Sam won't have his giant pistols. It's not clear if the decision is based on recent school shootings. But that's not to say there won't be any cartoon-style violence. Looney Tunes says there's plenty of episodes where characters get blown up with dynamite and Wile E. Coyote gets flattened with an Acme anvil. But guns, no longer allowed. You know, it sounds to me like somebody dropped a giant Acme anvil on the programmers at HBO. They're really singing a Looney Tune here, folks. Suffer and succotash. I'm Todd Starnes.
American Family Studios was started back in 2011 as a way to advance the Christian worldview into an increasingly media-rich culture.
Media is like such a powerful tool to communicate the gospel. I love writing stories, getting in my office, and just thinking, how can we portray this concept of who God's character is? And to get to use the gifts that God has given me is really a joy.
AmericanFamilyStudios.net.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Peter 1:3.
American Family Radio.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Ed and Fred, we thank you for listening. If you want to watch on the internet, go to Facebook Live and type in Today's Issues. Facebook Live, type in Today's Issues, and you can watch the show there. We live stream our shows also at our own streaming service, streaming.afa.net, streaming.afa.net. We created that in part because we didn't want to be canceled by the big social media for things that we said, and like YouTube did to us a few months back.
Ivermectin. I think that got us bounced off YouTube.
Yeah, it did. I think that's probably the word, although they wouldn't tell us that.
No. Or, you know, when I maybe it was when I said that I eat an ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine sandwich every day.
I think that put us
that might have put us on
the blacklist,
yeah,
so to speak. Huh? Well, we are speaking of being involved in politics and government, making a difference. We have a gentleman in the studio right now who's traveling state of Mississippi, running for office, Chris McDaniel, who is a state senator in Mississippi, joins us in studio. Good morning, Chris.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Where's home?
Ellisville, Jones County.
Jones County?
Yes, sir.
South Mississippi. How long have you been a state senator?
16 years now.
And why do you keep going back?
There's a lot to do. There's a lot to do. I mean, if you know my record, I've fought for conservatives my entire life. And frankly, I'm frustrated with the system.
Right.
I'm frustrated with the direction of the country. And so we go back, or I've gone back so many times, just trying to set the record straight, trying to stand and hold the line for the values that I believe in. And unfortunately, it's been tough. It's been really hard, but I like the fight.
16 years in the state Senate. You are now going to run for a statewide office. You're running in Mississippi for lieutenant governor.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And why are you running for lieutenant governor?
Combination of several factors. I think, like most people, when I get up in the morning, I look at the state of the country, and I'm alarmed.
Yeah.
I never thought we would fall so quickly the way we have. And if you look at it over a 20-year time period, you see a pretty alarming degradation of our culture, our government, our institutions. And so we need people to step and hold the line. And I'm trying to do just that. The present lieutenant governor is Delbert Hosemann, and he has been incredibly friendly to Democrats. In fact, we have 16 Democrats in the chamber. He appointed 13 of those individuals to be chairman of powerful committees. He has pushed Democrat initiatives. He has fought us on every step trying to pass conservative reform. He even went so far last year as to redraw the district lines. And he eliminated one of the most conservative members of the Senate named Senator Melanie Sojourner in Southwest Mississippi. He did that to protect Democrats. He redrew Benny Thompson's lines to protect Benny Thompson. He's one of these guys that reaches across the aisle and compromises our principles and our belief system. And I want to be really clear about this. As conservatives trying to hold the line on this culture, we have nothing else left to compromise with those people. Every time we reach across the aisle, we lose. Every time we compromise, our children pay a terrible price. And I want to be really clear, from the income tax that needs to be eliminated to the woke culture in our schools that also has to be eliminated, I'm going to fight for the people of the state.
Talking to Chris McDaniel, a Mississippi state senator. He's running for lieutenant governor of Mississippi. Now, some states, the state governments are similar, but there are also differences. In the state of Mississippi, a lieutenant governor really has more, what would you say, control, power, authority than does the governor of the state for legislative matters, true?
Yes, sir, that's correct. It sets up on the old Jeffersonian model, which empowers the legislature as opposed to empowers the governor or the executive. So in our present system, the LG is a disproportionately powerful figure in Mississippi. All legislation, all committee assignments, whether bills live or die, that goes through his office, including the governor's appointments have to come also through the Senate, which also he controls. So it's a very, very powerful position in Mississippi.
I wonder how many states are like that. Do you know?
It's a good question. I'm guessing the Deep South for the most part,
right.
Maybe a couple of out west. But most states have an opposite approach. They empower the executive as opposed to the legislature.
You could almost argue that on a national level, like the House, the Speaker of the House of Representatives is just as powerful as the President of the United States.
That's right.
In terms of legislative matters.
Oh, no question about it, because they control the flow of the agenda in the chamber, and that makes it, them incredibly powerful.
Yeah. So when is your race?
August the 8th this year, 92 days, not that I'm counting.
You know every highway in the state by heart, don't
hey,
you?
Hey, listen, huh? I do. He's going to raise, you know, he's the sitting LG. He has right. The lobbyists on his side. He has a special interest on his side. He's going to raise millions and millions of dollars. I'm going to knock on every door I can. I'm going to be out there at every coffee shop, every co-op, everywhere
retail
I can
politics.
Go. That's
huh?
exactly right. We're going to outwork him for sure.
Yeah. Well, listen, thanks for stopping by.
Yes, sir.
And
thank
we
you.
Appreciate it. And may you be safe
yes,
and your families back home. And
They are.
Ellisville.
My wife's a teacher. My boys are in high school. One's in high school. One's in elementary school. So they're right there in Ellisville, right?
Gotcha.
Now. Yeah.
Well, thanks for stopping by.
Yes, sir.
Godspeed.
Thanks, sir.
All right. That's Chris McDaniel stopping by to visit with us here. He's in Tupelo. He's a state, he's a candidate for the lieutenant governor's position. Ed, you ever thought about getting involved in politics as a candidate?
No, because with a name like Vitagliano, people just are for some reason automatically suspicious of my motivations. Didn't you run the garbage business in our city? And my uncle's bakery, he got shook down by some of you guys.
The campaign slogan would be this: vote for me or else.
Hey. It's worked for some people.
You know what?
In other countries.
This is terrible ethnic stereotyping. That's your
base. I just wanted to beat Canadian Fred Jackson to the punch.
Okay.
Right? I knew it was coming.
But if I call you Meatball, you're probably going to be upset with me.
Meatball. No, my friends can, you know, and do. I was in the pastorate for many years. That was my true calling, and
that's dirtier politics right there.
Nothing like a business meeting at a church. You want to talk about dirty pool and threats? it can get pretty hairy in a church too. But no, to answer your question, I should have just said no at the beginning and not gone any further. But no.
Hey, listen, I'll work for you. I'll make calls for you. I'll give money to campaigns, but I'm not eligible to run for office. I used to tell people I got my own problems. Yeah, I don't need it. I don't need everybody else's.
Or to solve. And that's why you.
It's a calling. Like Chris has a calling.
You wouldn't have been a good pastor either because
I wouldn't have.
Everybody else's problems.
They'd come to my office and they said, "Why are you here? I got 10 minutes. I'm sorry. But we all have our different.
Yes, no, that's right.
Gifts, talents, and callings, right.
And you better not go into politics or the pastorate or some of these without being called. Because you'll lose your way.
Right. And your temper.
And your temper.
All right. Ed, Fred.
Well,
bring us the next negative story.
Yeah. Well, let's stay with politics.
All right.
For a little bit. ABC Washington Post poll on the weekend. Now, we know that Joe Biden has announced that he plans to run again in 2024.
Does he know this?
he did yesterday, but he may have forgotten. 63%, according to this poll, 63% of Americans do not think Biden has the mental sharpness to serve another term.
Well, he doesn't. That's obvious.
That's the bottom line in all of this. And the numbers across the board are not good at all for him. The poll conducted between April 28th and May 3rd, so less than a week old, also found that 62% of Americans do not think Biden is in good enough physical health to serve either, compared to 33% who believe he is and 5% who have no opinion. George Stephanopoulos, ABC anchor, news anchor, basically said this is absolutely brutal for President Biden.
That's from a liberal media member.
Yes.
You know what? I just think that the Democrats are going to find somebody else. And they're just, huh?
Well, this poll showed that almost 6 out of 10 Democrats that were surveyed said they would rather their party pick someone else to be the nominee.
And it's not going to be Kamala Harris.
No, I don't think so. I don't think they have faith in her either.
If you're going to pick Kamala Harris, is it Kamala or Kamala?
Kamala.
Huh?
Right, Kamala?
Kamala.
If you're going to pick Kamala Harris, the vice president, just stick with Biden. Because that's not a net gain of any votes. I don't think so. I don't know what they're going to do. The Democrats, but I just think behind the scenes, there's got to be, people trying to work out a plan to, have somebody else. What do you got?
But he has to agree to it. And I don't know that you're going to get Biden
has to agree to it.
Yeah. He has to. They're not going to be able to force him out unless he were, you know, like Nixon. Richard Nixon, once it became clear that he had covered up the Watergate break-in, Republican leaders went to him and said, listen, this is not going to go well. You need to step down. And that's what someone's going to have to do to Joe Biden. But they don't have the leverage that the Republicans had with Nixon. Because at this point, I'm not saying this couldn't change. At this point, there is no leverage with President Joe Biden to say, this is not going to end well unless you step down. Right now, Biden has to sign off on it. And I'm not sure unless there's a health scare. Well,
I heard a scenario this morning. I'll run this by you guys. What happens if Hunter Biden is indicted, convicted? Because there's been an investigation going on for about 5 years.
Right.
Prosecutor in Delaware. And we understand there's some more stuff coming out from a former business partner. His name is Devin Archer, former business partner of Hunter Biden. He was involved with whole Burisma, et cetera, right. et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of stuff that may come out. So if that happens, and then we have the possibility of Biden also being accused of being financially beneficial with the Burisma deal, once again, Ukraine.
Right.
All right. So what if all of this happens? Does Biden just say, okay, I'm not going to run again?
Well,
he steps down.
Yeah.
And we have somebody like Gavin Newsom that comes to the forefront.
Yeah. There's a whistleblower who says, correct me if I'm wrong here, President Joe Biden, then Vice President Biden, made money off of a deal, off deals that we did involving Hunter Biden and China.
Yes.
China.
That's his former business partner, right?
Okay.
Hunter Biden's?
Yeah. Is that the accusation that the whistleblower has?
No, the whistleblower has to deal with Joe Biden specifically in that he made money personally from what happened with, remember we talked about this last week, Joe Biden.
With the company in Ukraine?
Vice President went there.
Right.
Remember he announced, I got the prosecutor to get rid of this guy.
He was investigating the company that my son got the millions from.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that Joe Biden got a lot of money personally out of that.
You know what I also wonder is Joe Biden says, he said over the weekend, my son has done nothing wrong.
Mm.
And my thought is, you don't even talk to your son about his business dealings. How do you know he hasn't done anything wrong?
Right.
Well, that's going to be proven a lie sooner or later.
Okay.
Well, this.
I'm tongue in cheek here. I know that everybody knows that he talks to the business associates for Hunter Biden were on the visitation list at the White House like dozens and dozens of times
right.
while his dad was VP. So,
well, they were just at Hunter's room playing video games. Nobody believes that either.
Okay. Yeah. So maybe his. Maybe the Democrats would use that to say, listen, your poll numbers are at 35-36% approval rating, and you're about to have multiple investigations, if not indictments, against your family and perhaps you when you leave office. It's time to figure out an exit strategy so that we can get somebody else to run for president. Whether that works or not, I don't know. But
there's also this morning the Tara Reid story. She's the woman who is accusing Joe Biden of sexually assaulting her back in the 90s when he was a senator.
She was on his staff.
On his staff. She has now been invited by a couple of Republicans to come and testify under oath to that. That story came out this weekend. Mm-hmm. And then there's out there perking also is the granddaughter that the Bidens refused to acknowledge. This is the little girl who was born. It's Hunter Biden's daughter by this adult entertainer. That case was back in Arkansas court this past week. There's just stuff piling up and piling up and piling
up. Yeah, I'm just going to be the contrarian. I don't think that's enough to convince Joe Biden. If I'm Joe Biden, I'm going to say my poll numbers will bounce back. None of these political smears are going to stick to me. Okay, so someone says I made money off a deal involving my son and Burisma, Ukraine, bada boom, bada bing. Prove it. Nobody's going to be able to prove that.
And it would be a bombshell, but if a group of Democrats went down to the White House, obviously it would be a bombshell and said, we need you to resign.
Yeah, they would have to say to Joe Biden, you can't win. Mr. President. You cannot win re-election. The poll numbers are in the tank, and then Joe Biden still has to say, I'll come back.
I don't know if you guys have ever dealt with anybody with dementia, and I don't know that he has medically. Nobody said that he has dementia from a medical doctor's perspective, right?
No.
No.
So in a sense, I guess in one sense, that's unfair for me to use that term. Let me just rephrase that. He has, he's losing his mental faculties and his ability to think and communicate and articulate, and he's doing so at a very rapid pace. That's a long way of saying.
Right.
Okay. So whatever, however you want to define that, but he is not mentally fit to be president of the United States, and everybody knows that. Thus the numbers,
right,
that you quoted from the studies among Democrats,
yes,
Fred. So they've got a mess on their hands. The Democrats, I guess they sort of knew this could happen. You have a fella he's 80 now, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Listen, we all know what happens to people between 75 and 85. The majority of people, you slow down mentally. Huh? It's rare that somebody doesn't. Mm-hmm. You slow down mentally and physically, and your capacity to think fast. I mean, all those things affect almost every human being in that age category.
I found it interesting in these poll numbers that former President Donald Trump was actually viewed by a majority of people as being mentally fit, more mentally fit than Biden, and more physically fit, even though he's up there in age as well. The point being,
yeah, but he's people, 4 years behind,
right,
Biden.
The point,
3 years.
The point being, people are paying attention. And so you try to say that Joe Biden is mentally fit, absolutely, and people are watching one example after another of the fact that he's not only lost his fastball, he's also lost his curveball. He, you know, they'll see videos, everyone will laugh, he's trying to get his way off stage, he's misremembering people's names, he's calling for people who aren't there, he's fumbling his words. That perception builds after a while, and there's nothing you can do to reverse it, because Joe Biden is not going to get better as the next couple of years unfold. He's only going to get worse. And when his handlers say the president's not debating, he's not going to debate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He's not going to debate his Republican counterpart in the general election. Everyone's going to know why that is. So those perceptions are going to solidify, and it's going to make it very difficult for the current president to get reelected.
And if that wasn't bad enough, we haven't even talked about the economy.
Yes.
The mess that the country is in. I mean, I was housing is becoming, there are a lot of people, the dream of owning your own house is slipping away from a lot of people because the interest rates are up. The interest rates are up because of the trillions of dollars that Joe Biden poured into the economy, causing inflation. And the Fed keeps raising the interest rates to try to tamp down inflation. But it's still affecting people. They can't get into a house. I was telling you guys this morning, the story meeting, New York City, a one-bedroom apartment going as high as $5,000 a month. Who can afford that?
Right.
You want to pay $5,000 for a one-bedroom apartment. You know, gas for people. And the radical left within the Democratic Party, what do they want to do? They want to reduce. They want to take your lawnmower away, your gas-powered lawnmower away. All of these things are adding up. The country is not in a good mood. Mm-mm. And we know what. I go all the way back to Jimmy Carter, 1980, Ronald Reagan. The
good
country
point.
Feels like that.
The country was in a really bad mood.
Yeah. 21% interest rates. I don't think we're going to get there, but remember that?
Oh, yeah. Stagflation.
Long lines for gasoline everywhere. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. Tim, I'm Tim with Ed and Fred. Thank you for listening. If you want to send us an email, comments@AFR.net is our email address. All right, Fred, what's your next story?
a little bit. Let's go with a little bit of good news.
Okay.
All right.
For some good news, man.
All right. Title 42, as far as the border goes away on Thursday, but also on the 11th, any restrictions that were brought on by COVID, they also go away on Thursday. This is people traveling into the country, et cetera, et cetera. In advance of that, the World Health Organization declaring that COVID-19 pandemic was over. They did that on Friday. Within hours after the WHO doing that, the CDC's Rochelle Walensky resigned as head of the CDC. Now, she was a controversial figure, putting these restrictions in place. That
let's see where she goes to work.
It'll be interesting. Twyla
That's a
Brace,
really good point.
Yeah. Twyla Brace is with Citizens Council for Health Freedom. We've interviewed her on this program. She tells AFN that people will not miss Walensky. Cut number six.
I think Dr. Walensky would have had a better reputation at the end of her time if she had been more of a truth teller and she was not just following whoever's directives about what to say, so that she would have done less flip-flopping and she would have said less things that people would consider to be false in the end.
Yeah, I don't think she'll be missed also.
You know, the one thing she said that I read that sticks out in my mind, which I just am floored a person of her stature would say, in making the case for the COVID vaccine shots, she said that COVID, if you're vaccinated, you could not be a carrier of the COVID virus. And there was no equivocation, no, we think, maybe, if I remember correctly. And I'm just, think about that for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the director of the CDC, and she was proven wrong within months. As we found out, people who had the COVID vaccine shots absolutely could carry the COVID and spread the COVID virus. And you remember this? You remember?
Yes.
And then Biden, you know, Biden, back to Biden for a minute, he said, you know, if you get the COVID vaccine shot, you can't give people COVID. I'm just saying within months they were proven wrong.
Yeah.
And yet these same people say you must follow our edicts without questioning them, or else you're a person who's against science.
Right.
Huh?
And
remember that?
And you'll lose your job.
So it makes me, you know, when they're wrong about something as fundamental as that, and then you want to go after people and say, well, for example, treating COVID with ivermectin or with other alternative medicines besides just, quote, the vaccine, that's somehow nutty? You know what I'm saying?
Without any real testing done.
Right.
That's what was so infuriating. It would have been one thing if Rochelle Walensky and others, Dr. Fauci, the infamous now Dr. Fauci, if they had said, well, we're not sure about ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, so you know what we're going to do? We're going to do some studies on it. And we do have the vaccine over here, so we're going to do ivermectin, we're going to do hydroxychloroquine, we're going to see which one works best. What? And then we also have, don't forget, folks, we have natural immunity. But all of that was thrown in the garbage except for the vaccine.
Yeah.
And
what's her name? How you pronounce her last name?
Walensky.
Walensky.
All right, I want to see if she goes to work for one of these big pharma companies. Because I saw the graph the other day, the graphic, where a lot of these people from CDC, they retire from CDC and they go to work over here for the big pharmaceutical companies.
And make megabucks.
And it's just and you're going, wait a minute, this is incest. Huh? This is, huh?
Yep.
Am I the only one that thinks this?
Well, it seems corrupt. I'm not saying it is corrupt, and what I mean by that is illegal.
Right.
But if you leave the CDC and go to Big Pharma and make big money to put your name
on
their next drug.
It's kind of like these congressmen and senators who retire and then they go to work as lobbyists.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.